Lord, as we come together to study thy word, may it be illumined to us. May our hearts respond in understanding. And may the truth be sealed upon our hearts and our minds and our consciences, so that we may ever remember that thy word is forever settled in heaven. And as our conviction corresponds with thy word, so that it corresponds with thy mind. And all in Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we love the text tomorrow. How to put the text on the board, you know, right after the chapel. Well, if you want to start, I don't want to keep you from your coffee, of course. If you want to start, I want to start. We love the solution. And it's more longer than the hour. We have an hour and a half. Longer than whatever it would be, an hour and 10 minutes. That's up to you. And if you're studying, please don't study in this room because I'll be putting the And bring your Hebrew Bible and the Greek Testament, that is, the Testament in the original, in Hebrew and Greek. And of course, the text will cover, as I told you, from the Adamic administration through creation. I'll leave your papers under here when you finish reading, because I have not been able to pick them up right away. Yes,
about
the questions?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, the questions will cover the material on the Adamic administration to the end of the agency. Well, now we've come to this passage in Ephesians 1:3-4. I might have to talk a little bit to answer the specific question the relevance to the precise question. There, don't wander all over. Answer as fully as time will permit on the precise question that the past. That's all important in the matter of knowledge. I better read this passage to you. Are you going to take that now? All in the Greek Testament, all in the Greek Testament. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with these aspects of the earth, parts of the world, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly things Christ. Just as He elected us or chose us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. And then you have to remember, comma, in love, having predestinated us unto adoption through Jesus Christ unto Him. I don't know what the antecedent about Tom is, but that's what it's like. Through Jesus Christ unto Himself, probably according to the good pleasure of His will, the glory of His grace, wherewith He abundantly favored us in the beloved, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of the trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he has founded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, unto an economy and dispensation of the fullness of the come of the time, to sum up all things in Christ, those in the heavens and those upon the earth, in him, in whom also we have been made heirs, in whom also we have been given an inheritance, we have been made heirs, having been predestinated according to the purpose of him who is working all things according to the purpose of his will, to the end that we should be unto the praise of his glory, who have come to put our hope in Christ, in whom he also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed, here in the passage, you were sealed with the Spirit of the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest and bound inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, in dealing with this passage, I want to make certain provisions. Reflect upon this, the spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessing is just the heading. Bless us, you see, with all spiritual blessings. And are they eulogia, pneumatic faith? Yes, all spiritual blessings. Now, there are two things about this in particular. First, the denotation. What we're interested in the connotation to for the particular point now is the denotation of spiritual blessing. We are not to think that this blessing is the blessing, is simply the blessing to be enjoyed in heaven in the age to come. That is not the force of the characterization heavenly, in the heavenlies. There are two considerations which establish the denotation here. First, Paul is speaking on behalf of believers, and he is thinking of blessings in possession. And here is participle, you know, gave us. Here is participle. The self points to that. Who has blessed. Consideration establishing that thesis. He proceeds to specify some of the blessings comprehended in all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. complete specification or catalog.
But he gives us outstanding examples.
Adoption. There are five. Redemption. The forgiveness of trespasses. There are seven. The making known to us the mystery of his will, verse 9. Our being made heirs, verse 11. The seal of the Holy Spirit and the earnest of our inheritance. Verses 13 and 14. See that the Spirit means to see the shift in this. Genesis is an opposition of this. The Holy Spirit is the earth to see, and He is the earth. Now I think that is clear. For all spiritual blessing extends to the life to come. The greatest of all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies is Christ. He is not restricting the blessing to that which will be enjoyed in the life to come. Now that as limitations concerning the sacrament. The pattern, I'm thinking particularly of Calvary, beginning with verse 4. The pattern. What Paul says is that all spiritual blessings bestowed is according to election in Christ. So election in Christ, chosen in Him, written, using the verb of course. Election in Christ provides the pattern in terms of which all spiritual blessing is bestowed. Just as he chose it before the foundation of the world. Now there are two considerations here also. This pattern is eternal, pre-temporal. Is eternal, pre-temporal. Because it was election before the foundation of the world. That is faithful. And then second, it is causally prior, at least logically prior, to the bestowment of all blessings. A pattern, you see, is always logically prior to realization. in accordance with truth. Something was
done?
What was the crime?
So election, inference is that election in Christ is logically prior to every spiritual blessing enjoyed by believers. With respect to the biblical question, the relation of election to salvation. Any spiritual blessing cannot condition election. Next is the pattern in terms of which, or in correspondence with which, all spiritual blessing, if you so. Now, the fact happens to go to election and election. It is the next objectical question on which there might be difference of opinion. What precisely is the relation between verses 4 and 5? Reduces itself to the question of the relationship between chosen in Christ and in love having predestined. Chosen in Christ and love having predestined. Assume that a man's soul is in Christo, because that is unshakable and deceivable. Chosen in Christ to be in love, how it could be maintained an agreement with Romans 29. That when Paul speaks of election, he is thinking of that which is logically first in the saving counsel of God, that which is logically first in the saving counsel of God. And then predestination, that which is logically second in this counsel. So that there is what you would call a sequence of logical relationship intimated in these two verses, these two consecutive verses. A sequence of logical relationship in these two verses. That could very well be maintained, but personally, I think that these two clauses, these two verses are parallel. They are parallel. Yeah. And the verse 5 is virtually exegetical of verse 4.
Exegetical. That is, that is before standing in opposition to verse 4.
And then Paul is saying virtually the same thing in two consecutive clauses.
In two consecutive verses.
Because you do not have election sense here, but election to holiness and blamelessness. And election is not in this viewed in abstraction from the end contemplated in the election. Even as he chose us in him from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. The end, that we should be holy in the counseling before him. And since that is the case, the most reasonable interpretation, I believe, of these two verses are parallel. Because he proceeds in love, having predestinated us unto adoption. That clearly states the end contemplated in predestination, just as the preceding verse contemplates the end contemplated in election. Furthermore, in verse 5, you have the expression in love having predestined. In love having predestined. And that in love must be parallel to chose us in Christ in preceding verse. Well, that is, of course, a critical question in which there could be different opinions, and there could be any difference, substantial difference, to the main emphasis of this passage, it would be either way. I wanted, however, to say that from the standpoint of exegesis before I proceed. Now, with reference to this subject of election and predestination, there are three things to be noted in the teaching of the passage. Three things to be noted. First, Arabic 1. Election is unto holiness. Elected in Christ, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy without blame before him. So holiness flows from election. Flows from election. You cannot reverse Baptist and say that men are elected because they are foreseen to be holy. Because God foresees that they will be holy.
Holiness was contemplated in election, not the conditioning cause. And this holiness of which he speaks in verse 4, this holiness must comprise the spiritual blessing.
In the preceding
text,
and of which he gives us examples in verses 1, must comprise that spiritual blessing. At least you would have to say, that holiness is an ingredient in this spiritual blessing. Now, second, predestination according to verse 5 springs from the love of God. In love, having predestinated us. So love is the source, the urge, and the cause of predestination. Source, the urge, and the cause of predestination. And of course, the love of God. Already, you see, we have an index to what is the conditioning element of predestination, or the conditioning factor, and of course, the love of God. Already, you see, we have an index to what is the conditioning element of predestination, or the conditioning factor, as you should have said. We have an index to what is the conditioning factor in predestination. So we are finding there. We may properly call erosion in the heart of God. Emotion in the heart of God that he contemplates mankind from its according to
the good treasure of his will. According to the good treasure of his will. It is to be noted how Paul combined terms in order to emphasize the concept. It would have been sufficient for him to say simply, Cathartē eunuchia autou, according to his own pleasure. That would have expressed his concept. But he wants to enrich the formula by which he expresses the concept. And so he says, not simply Cathartē eunuchia autou, but Cathartē eunuchia autou. He introduces two terms in combination, construction one with the other, in order to emphasize the will of God. And the scholar of God. But now we turn to verse 11. And here we have the same type of continuous instruction amplified still further. In whom also we have been given an inheritance, yet we made heirs. And now, having been predestinated, having been predestinated according to the purpose of him who is working all things according to the counsel of his will. And now you see the three terms, purposes, meaning purpose, and then Cathartē eunuchia. Well, you see, it would have been sufficient according to the analogy of Paul's teaching elsewhere. Well, definitely, according to us, that's how I thought of it. Because that's what you have in Romans 8:28. Oh, according to us. It would have been sufficient for Paul to say, to set Cathartē eunuchia autou, according to his counsel. Thank you. And he might even render it according to his will, but he's not satisfied with all. He's cut our team to save the now. What is this? This simply to emphasize the sovereign will of God. And it would work the plain import of this emphasis to say that predestination is conditioned or determined by God's foresight of autonomous sovereign decision on the part of man. I say it would wreck repeated emphasis to say that it is conditioned on or determined by God's foresight of autonomous decision on the part of man.
But even for in that event, that would be the will of man, that would be the conditioning factor. And that would run counter to every index in this earth.
To the good, to the sovereign good pleasure of God. Every pointer to the sovereign good pleasure of God. Consequently, here I think you have something of which the whole issue is stake. That which is the conditioning factor in predestination is God's sovereign good pleasure. And interfere with that in any degree, wreck the plain import of all that we see. No third is King Christ. And I'll call, of course, to be very specific, in verse 4, and indeed instances in home and so forth. You notice how this passage is pervaded by that formula. And
in the rich dancing. Walking some dirt in its place, given an intelligence, given the feel of the world.
It is apparent that these all refer to blessings enjoyed by the believer here and now.
Oh, they have their consolation, and they become that their blessings enjoyed by the believer here and now.
Very instant, it is an crypto or anto crystal. Now we ask the question, when did that relationship begin?
Is to cold. The elements contained in the purpose called according to purpose. And then the expectation in verse 29 for that purpose. So verse 29 reads as follows. Because whom he foreknew, he foreknew. Remember the others? Whom he did foreknow, he respected. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Again, of course, he respected. He did predestinate. But so mortals, we have to clarify that. He destined to be conformed to the image of his Son, to the end that he might be the first begotten among many brothers. The term predestined conformed to the image of his Son. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now few passages have provoked more difference of interpretation than this passage. These few passages in Paul have provoked more difference of opinion. And the first question that arises here is the meaning of Cognos. Of course, Cognosco, which means the foreknown. Cognosco, the foreknown. Cognosco. And that is, it can go beforehand. To know beforehand, as applied to God, it could refer to His eternal prevision, His eternal omniscience, foreseeing all that would come to pass. And many expositors claim that that is the meaning in this instance. Going on before sin. Even in this very brief cause, there is already differentiation. All expositors differentiation here. Because Paul is dealing with passions, he is dealing with the persons who are predestinated to a certain end. So there is differentiation in two respects. It's limited to persons of the human way. And it's limited to a certain class of a certain group within the human
presence, God foreknows everything that comes to pass. There must be in this law some presupposed liberty. Presupposed liberty. Concept. And so those expositors who think that this could be new prevision, regime, those who before you as believing, those who before you as the goal, they have to suppose some liberty concept. And that's what they all that only foresaw the old, only foresaw the living.